This podcast is a part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not reflect those of other podcasts or affiliates of this show or Gunna Geek. Check out other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Get ready, because the geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1.
Gallifrey Public Radio, a podcast dedicated to everything Doctor Who. Join us each week for discussion ranging from Hartnell to Capaldi. I'm your host, Jay Witten. Did you just say womp womp? And my co-host, Haley Malley.
I am a ray of sunshine.
And Keir Hansen.
Flashy lights, Christmas, woo!
Spoilers.
We will be discussing news and rumors, as well as episodes that have already aired. But don't worry, if we get into anything too serious, we'll warn you again.
Welcome to episode 145 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where we throw the switches haphazardly and whisk off to a random planet, refuse to give the radiation scanner time to get a reading, and come face to face with an enemy that will no doubt become our worst nemesis.
Yeah, I'm not helping out there.
Thanks. I'm your host, Haley, and with me in the studios today, we have Jay. How are you today, Jay?
I'm doing all right. Well, Keir is not quite back yet. He should be coming back as we record this tomorrow. He was busy, you know, having an adventure of his own at the Doctor Who experience and is bringing back a brand new companion. Well, same companion, new tier.
Title.
Yeah, I guess. We just wanted to throw out the congratulations to Keir, who actually got engaged this week. So
Woot.
That is fantastic, and we look forward to hearing the story when you get back. Yeah, so this week we're going to revisit the second Doctor Who story and the introduction of everyone's favorite villain armed with plumbing accessories, the Daleks. So, our friends over at Legends Podcast on the Gunna Geek Network were discussing the trailer that came out last week at Comic-Con, and it came about. They were saying, you know, why are they bringing the Daleks back? Because you do get that one quick glimpse of the Dalek, and this kind of devolved into, you know, why can't they do more villains and this, that, and the other, and they have to bring them back, and we just had them last season. And so I had to send them a message, like, almost immediately. I'm like, okay, first off, and just for anyone that doesn't know, the BBC is actually contractually obligated to let the Daleks appear once per series. If they don't, then the rights for the Daleks revert back to Terry Nation's estate. So that's why you have the Daleks showing up at least once per series. Now, this can be something as quick as, like, in the Matt Smith run, you know, we did have a Dalek-centric episode, but then there was the next series where the only time we saw a Dalek was as he's destroying it, basically. And it was, like, 5 seconds, but that worked. You know, it was in there, boom, you know, contract fulfilled, we get to keep the Daleks another year. Yeah, so that's why they keep coming up, is because we don't want to lose the Daleks entirely. I mean, that would
even
be,
if they are dumb.
But so, I mean, that's why you tend to see them pop up far more often than you want to, is just because it's a contract deal. So, but
use them or lose them,
right? And I mean, we've kind of talked about how, you know, they're starting to become scary villains again. You know, they're doing it right to where they might not be terrifying, but they are menacing. They're no longer the comedy element that they were before, you know, unintentionally, but they still were. I think back to Journey's End and Stolen Earth, where they've just got them spinning around and it was awful. It was really
awful. Let's try spinning. That's a good trick.
Yeah, but nice Star Wars reference, by the way.
You're welcome.
So we do. I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know, what was it that made the Daleks so imposing, that was so terrifying about it? So we decided that this week we're going to go back to the original Dalek story, the one that followed the empty child, or an unearthly child, or the first story that came out. And then immediately after that, we had the Daleks, which
there was the one Oh, I guess that was all part of an unearthly child. Never mind.
Yeah,
they went back with the cavemen and hung out for a little bit.
Exactly. That story. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's hard to lump them all together like that.
When episodes and stories are vastly different things, it's hard to keep track.
Yeah. But so after that was the Daleks, which took, what, 7 episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Started
it was
off
a
with,
bunch.
Yeah. Started off with a dead planet and then worked all the way through. It took a little bit of getting through, honestly. Like, I wish I could have been there to see this when it first aired, because I can tell that there was a lot that went into this that you're not going to get by today's standards. You know, you're not going to get if you're used to today's TV, you're not going to get most of what made this such an impactful story.
Right. This came out at a time where killer robots were a fairly new thing. I mean, this wasn't obviously the first incarnation of that, but they hadn't seen Terminator.
Yeah. So, you know, salt shakers might have been scary at that point, because we hadn't seen liquid metal Terminators running after the car. Now.
And, I mean, plungers are terrifying when you don't have the sanitation technology we do now.
Death or plumbing. Yeah, if for anyone that hasn't seen that bit, who is it? Eddie Izzard did a whole thing about, you know, Daleks, and without the voice modulation, he actually did a decent Dalek impersonation, but it's rather hilarious at times. Off color, but hilarious.
Eddie Izzard, no.
I know, it's shocking. This starts off with the doctor and Susan, and then Ian and Barbara basically having just escaped their first big store or first big adventure, and not knowing where they're going to, just jumped in the TARDIS and left, and wound up landing on a planet. They had no idea where they were, anything like that. So they go out to explore and come across what appears to be this city that, well, the doctor wants to go and explore. And everyone else is like, no, let's get back in the TARDIS, figure out where we are, and go home. We don't want to be on this ship anymore with you crazy old man.
Right. And then the doctor's like, nope, ship's broken. Now we got to go explore. Ha ha.
Exactly. And I mean, this is the not the first time. I mean, we'd kind of seen him do it before, but the doctor's really underhanded and manipulative, and it really bites them all in the ass.
I really, really like the first doctor a lot.
I know. It's kind of fun to see somebody that is so, like, not what we've had recently. You know, especially with Tennant and Smith, it's all lovable and goofball, and they're just, you know, you might not like certain aspects of their characteristics, but it's not because they're unlikable. It's just, you know, something that might rub you the wrong way. But with the first doctor, it's like, he's doing stuff that you get genuinely frustrated with him, and it's very interesting to see.
But so, people thought Capaldi was cranky.
I know. It's like you want to send him back here and be like, look, we've got it made with this guy. But so the story goes on, and there's, you know, they run into the Thals, which, you know, we've talked about before. But then they wind up getting into the city to search for medication because the planet is hugely irradiated or something.
Right. But they don't know that because they couldn't wait 10 seconds to double check the radiation readings.
Right. Exactly.
Idiots.
So they go into the city. No, they go into the city searching for the fluid link that they need to repair the TARDIS, which happens to be in the doctor's pocket the entire time. But that's where they come across the Daleks. And I will say that the way that they introduced the Daleks the first time, with, you know, Barbara sitting there screaming while a plunger is coming towards her or whatever, it's very 60s. Like, I mean, this seems like something straight out of Psycho. Yeah, you know, it was a horror movie move to be doing that. You don't see the monster, you just see like a little bit of it at the very bottom of the screen, and you have the damsel in distress screaming, and it's just it works. It evokes that feeling that you get from watching those old monster movies.
I haven't seen very many of those.
Haley, not seen something? What?
I know.
But I mean, it's something that if you know the time period, you know that this was a move that worked. People would have been terrified by this. And then you have it at the end of the episode where you're waiting a whole week to find out what happens. It's not a cutaway to a different scene and then coming back to it. It's, you know, you're going to wait. So, I mean, that may have been part of what cemented them as such scary monsters.
Right. Was it airing weekly at this time, or was it more frequently than that?
I still think it was weekly.
Okay.
I'm not sure. See, this is why we need Keir. He's the...
So you were getting a story over the course of 2 months.
For this one, yeah. Typically, that's how it would play out. Yeah. I know we've been spoiled by Netflix now. It's like I've been complaining lately while I'm watching shows, like, well, I was going to go to bed, but the next episode started because I didn't hit the button within the 8 seconds it allowed me, and now it's 3 a.m. and I'm watching another one. And yeah, you know, imagine going back to this.
You could watch this and then the news, and then that was it. They're going to put up colors, mm-hmm. but they would be in black and white because you couldn't afford the color TV.
Exactly. This was very... It seemed really inflated. Like, it didn't seem like it should have taken 7 episodes to get to the resolution that we got.
It shouldn't have. How many times did we need to see Ian slap his leg? Really?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it was kind of interesting to see how this played out. And, you know, learning about the Daleks firsthand, or, like, you know, along with the Doctor, who has never encountered them before, which that was weird. You know, normally, because every time we see him, it's... you know, mortal enemy, and I know everything I can about them, and this is how you fight them, and this, and here the Doctor just is completely clueless and unconscious for a large portion of it, you know, because radiation poisoning works.
Right, but they all get better. It's fine.
But yeah, it was interesting to kind of learn that stuff along with them, but then you get the, you know, the war between the Daleks and the farmers of the Thals, and, you know, for being a bunch of farmers that turn their back on violence and stuff, they did surprisingly well.
They know how to throw down.
Yep. No, we're gonna destroy this. So, I mean, what was your take on all this? Like, how do you feel about the Daleks after going back and revisiting this story?
I like them better in the '60s than I do now, just because they seem to fit better.
Mm-hmm.
But they still aren't scary to me. They're still hokey and over the top, mm-hmm. just way over the top.
Well, I mean, what about the way that they were able to disable the first one, like to completely shut it down? You just throw a blanket on the floor and cut off the circuit.
Right.
Because they're all powered like bumper cars at this point. It's, you know, just completely...
They got to be attached to the floor. And...
So it's like, okay, you throw down a blanket and make it roll onto it, and all of a sudden you've got a, you know, completely disabled Dalek. Like,
right.
That's not what I was expecting. So, I mean, obviously a far cry from the ones that we have that can fly around and all kinds of things like that. But
right. These ones were definitely thwarted by stairs.
Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, the little rubber strip between the doors.
What else was it? Oh, I did know they were talking about them before they got there, and they were like, well, we don't even know if there is anything inside. That was kind of interesting, because we know that that's a fairly significant point later, is what they are inside and how they got to that.
Right. Although it was kind of interesting to see see him just pull the mutant out, and then, oh, there's no machinery or anything in there that Ian can just climb right in. It's just a completely empty shell at that point.
Right, and he totally fits in there.
Yeah. But it was kind of interesting to hear, like, okay, well, apparently the voice synthesization is from the shell itself. It's, you know, all you have to do is jump in. There's no... It kind of struck me as weird, like, oh, so you jump in this completely empty shell that is completely roomy enough for you, and somewhere in there, there's voice synthesization.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seems legit. So everything is powered by magnets.
Well, yeah, it all was the it. 60s. I mean, yep. Daleks, Iron Man, everything. It's just magnets and transistors.
Right.
Because reasons. I mean, can you tell me how transistors work?
Science.
Exactly. It works. It's kind of like microwaves. Nobody really knows how they work. It just makes food warm.
Yeah, it keeps us from starving.
I don't feel like there's... It is kind of cool to go back and see this and see where the monsters came from, where the... You know, see the progression that we've gone through to get to the point we're at now. But I don't really feel like this added anything to the Daleks for me.
No, because they were just the villain of the weeks at this point. I'd bet there you had no intention of ever showing them to us again when this episode was created.
Yeah, I mean, it was a surprise to the network when the Daleks became so popular. Like, nobody really expected it to be the case, maybe Terry Nation, but I don't even know if he really had the faith in it that it happened. But, it did seem like at the end of this story, we could have walked away from the Daleks and never revisited them, and it would have been a closed story. It didn't seem like it was something that they intentionally set up to be as long-lasting as it is.
Right.
So, I mean, definitely not one of the stronger Dalek stories, but... And I mean, interesting nonetheless, just to go back and see where they came from.
Yeah, and actually after watching this episode, I was like, you know, in the trailer, I'm pretty sure that's got to be Skaro.
Yeah. I mean, which could go along with some of the theories that are out there, because I can't remember where it's come from, but there's been bantering about the whole, you know, if you could go back in time and shoot a dictator before they came to power, would you do it? And that kind of thing. And it's been discussed that the Doctor's going to have to face that dilemma. And, you know, obviously Davros would be the one that he would want. So we might deal with a child Davros, which would make sense for us to see Skaro in all of its glory before the radiation and everything.
Didn't we discuss an episode? I don't remember which Doctor it was, but they sent the Doctor back to kill Davros before he could finish creating the Daleks.
Yeah, that was actually Genesis of the Daleks.
Yes.
Yeah, Tom Baker's Doctor. And he didn't do it then. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out this time, if that's indeed the way that it goes.
Right. So that was a younger Doctor and an older Davros. Could this older Doctor do it to a younger Davros?
And what would that do to the continuity? Like, I mean, we all know that he's not going to, just because that's a whole can of worms that you don't want to dig into, but... It's an interesting thought experiment, if nothing else, just to be like, well, what would happen? But, because obviously you're not going to retcon the Daleks. They're going to come about another way. But I mean, could that be a way of reworking their origin? And maybe when you come back, have newer, upgraded, you know, Daleks changed in some functional way or something? I don't know.
But would that? Because the war between the Time Lords and the Daleks is what led to Gallifrey being sealed off the way it is.
Right.
So could that be a way to unseal Gallifrey without directly undoing what the War Doctor did?
Well, supposedly it's back in our universe already, but...
Right. Wait, no, it's in a pocket universe. Right? I don't know.
I know there's somebody listening right now just screaming at me. I'm sorry for upsetting you. We're completely blanking on this right now, but I'm fairly certain it came up that it's, whether on the show or in one of the press interviews or something, that it's actually back in our universe now.
So he's just got to find it.
Yeah.
Okay. Or maybe he'll find it and then change something with the Daleks and then it'll be lost again.
That would be kind of interesting, is if he found it, went back and killed Davros and... You know, that changed the Daleks enough that the Time War actually did wind up happening. And yeah, I don't know. At that point, like, if they actually did kill off Davros, they could rework the whole Dalek story to whatever they see fit.
Right. They could make them look completely different, but still call them Daleks.
I don't even think they would make them look different. Like, because at this point, I mean, come on, they're so iconic.
Right.
Like, I've got salt shakers that, you know, one is a TARDIS and one's a Dalek. It's, you know.
Or they could leave them exactly the same, except replace the plunger with something actually scary.
It's actually a drain snake now. It's much more invasive.
I like that he used the plunger to actually be just a suction cup to pick up the letters Susan wrote.
Yes. That was, I couldn't help but laugh at that. I'm like, see, it is a plunger. It is.
It's a plunger and they're going to use it like one. They're not playing.
Oh, man. But I know that it's one of those things, you've got to use what you've got around when you're on the kind of budget that they had for Doctor Who. But at the same time, it's like, who sat there and said, you know what would be really scary? If we put a plunger on this thing. Like, just give them a plunger and an egg beater and go nuts. Like...
Well, no, what happened was, it's like, okay, we're going to make 12 Daleks. What do we have 12 of that we can use as an arm?
Well, we've got 10 plungers sitting here, and there's two up in the bathroom upstairs.
Go get them.
Although I have seen people, like, stick plungers to their face, and they get stuck there, and I'm fairly certain that could be slightly scary, but...
Of course, disgusting.
The thing that kills me is, like, you've got people with plungers stuck to their face, and they're clearly trying to get them off, and then the person's sitting there with their phone, like, videotaping them. Like, this person is clearly suffocating, but it's hilarious, so you gotta
keep
going.
I want you to know, Jay, if I saw you with a plunger stuck to your face, I would record it before I would take it off.
If I'm ever stupid enough to put a plunger on my face, you just let whatever happens, because I deserve it at that point. But
and if somebody comes to help, I'll be like, nope, this is how I wanted to go.
Oh, man. So, all right. Do you have anything else to say about the story here?
I will say one of the Thals did say they have 500,000 years of recorded history. So this is a really old civilization.
That is true. I forgot about that one. Yeah, that's... Wow. I mean, we've got what, like...
A few thousand. Like, what? Six?
Yeah, like 6,000 years recorded history.
can kind of guess at the four before that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is like most of that isn't well documented. It's just guesswork at that point. So we're talking 500,000 years that they have written down, recorded, like on actual writing and language and stuff. That's, yeah.
Impressive.
Very much so. Not something to sneeze at, but yeah. I mean, so to the get back to the original point that the guys over at Legends brought up, that the Daleks are, they have become kind of a tired villain. Like, we've seen them countless times, and there have been times where it's gotten really worn out and you just don't want to see them again. But I feel like what they've done with them recently, like, give them a little bit of a break, you know, just have them show up as basically cameos just to keep the contract, keep the license going, and then, you know, go to have them show up in the 50th because you have to. I mean, come on.
Right.
And then when you do bring them back, have them actually be scary villains. You know, we saw a Dalek fleet in the time of the Doctor that was laying waste to a whole planet. It was impressive. Granted, the Doctor just took him out with his shiny regeneration energy, but that's more whimsical than anything. But
right. Remind me again what their appearance was in Series 8.
Into the Dalek.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot that was Series 8 even.
Which,
that was a long time ago.
I mean, that was... I know a lot of people don't really care for it, but I really liked that episode, and I liked the way that it changed it. You know, you've got a good Dalek, or, you know, quote, finger quoties there, but it was an interesting look into, let's not just make them, you know, something that's chasing you down a hallway shooting at you. Like, that gets old. You don't get scary at that point anymore. But, like, if you start to delve into, like, the psyche of the Dalek and actually have fun with that aspect of it, alongside the fact that you don't know who your Doctor is anymore, like, that was interesting. I liked that dynamic, and I thought that more than anything made the Daleks, if not, you know, genuinely scary, at least more menacing. So if they can continue doing stories like that, where, you know, it's more of a psychological thing instead of just, look, we have 500 Daleks that can all shoot you all at once, and that's not scary anymore. Yeah, you know, just having them around isn't scary. You have to invent ways to make them scary again, which I feel like they're actually doing a fair job of. I mean, look back to Asylum of the Daleks. I mean, that was unsettling, you know, when you have insane Daleks instead of just the, well, insane according to their standards instead of just the regular ones. Like,
right.
They're
you can only show a massive army of killer robots so many times before you got to do something different.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, we had hit the point where it's like, oh, look, the Daleks have shown up. How's the Doctor going to defeat them this time? You know, it was, oh, my God, we killed Kenny. You know, you don't get scared anymore. It's just like, okay, what's the interesting way they're going to do it this time? And God willing, it was an interesting way, because if not, then you had absolutely nothing to be invested in. But the way that they're doing it now, they're trying to reinvent the Daleks. They're trying to make them scary again. And I feel like they're doing a decent job of that. It takes a little bit more to really make us, you know, worried about them. But, you know, that I feel like the last time I was really scared by one of the Daleks was, I don't even know. I don't know if I've ever actually been genuinely scared of them, or if it's just been a, you know, a carryover from what they were supposed to be.
I've never been scared of them, but that's because they look ridiculous.
I mean, the only time I was really intrigued by him was probably in the episode Dalek, which I still think is probably the best New Who appearance of a Dalek, because you had one Dalek take down an entire military base. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it was an imposing foe, and if you had never seen the Daleks before, it was an impressive feat for, you know, to introduce to a new audience. So if they can get back to that kind of menace from Daleks, or, you know, at least that level, maybe they can do something with it. But I like the way that they're going now, instead of just making them, you know, powerful villains, making them, you know, psychologically scary as well.
Yeah.
So,
but did I ever mention that when I first watched Doctor Who, I was watching it on Netflix, and that was back when they would skip like an episode or two, so you would have to get the discs if you wanted to actually watch the whole show.
Oh.
Dalek was one of the episodes that wasn't there, so I didn't see that episode until way later.
Oh, man. No, thankfully, it was there when I watched it, so I can't imagine what that would have been like, because then you're going to something else, and, oh, look, here's random new guy on the TARDIS, and okay. Yeah.
But then they don't do anything with the Daleks again that season, so
right.
You don't really realize what you've missed.
Right. I'm trying to think, what's the Dalek episode in Series 2?
I can't remember.
Where did they come up? Who's that? Oh, that would have been the series finale, Army of Ghosts and Doomsday.
Okay.
Right? Wouldn't that have been?
Probably. I don't know. The seasons all run together for me because...
This is what happens when you marathon six series in like, you know, 2 weeks, which is the way that I did do it.
Yep.
Well, it might have taken longer than 2 weeks, but still. I don't know.
Anyways.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things, we're going to wind up seeing Daleks. You just have to accept that. If you know the way behind it, it makes it a lot more palatable because, okay, Dalek appearance for the series, I can take that instead of just really they're putting another one in here, which, so I can understand the Legends guys' frustration, but hopefully this kind of, yeah, hopefully this helps to make it a little bit more palatable. Just understand that it's a contractual thing and they're doing the best they can at this point because we don't want the Daleks to go away. That's just, that would be a travesty.
Right. I like what they're doing where they'll do an episode with a Dalek as opposed to the army of Daleks.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to use them without using all of them.
Right. Because then with the same amount of destruction and things like that, all of a sudden it has become a much more impressive villain. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'll be interested to see how they do it. Maybe it'll just be another cameo this series. Maybe it's just, you know, one amongst many monsters that are there that the Doctor has to face down or something. And because we've seen him do that before, too, where it's just, hey, look, they're in this massive army of all these other villains. And so, I don't know. Just the fact that we have one screen capture of a Dalek in the trailer doesn't really mean too much to me right now. But all right, so you ready for some news?
Let's do it.
All right, so we've got kind of a slow news week this week. For anyone that follows the political scene over in the UK, the BBC has come under a little bit of fire recently due to the new government that they have in place. The Tories took the majority in the House, and so they're kind of throwing the BBC under fire for license fees and things like that. And it's kind of a scary time for the BBC. Like, not that we're worried that anything's gonna, you know, the BBC is gonna go away or anything, but a lot of things could be in flux right now. So, you know, it's kind of a scary time, but. The BBC Worldwide Annual Review came out recently, and actually, it looks like it came out, yeah, on the 14th. And one of the things that, so buried away on page 32, there is a statement saying, yeah, just talking about the plan that the BBC has for the future, and says, and investments in the Musketeers season 3 and Doctor Who season 10, or series 10. So we've got this. I mean, the BBC has already confirmed series 10 for Doctor Who.
Which I don't think anyone was probably worried about too much.
I don't know, because with everything going the way that it has been for the BBC, it's people were starting to get concerned. Not that Doctor Who was going to go away. Like, that's clearly one of their flagship shows. That's something that they're going to fight tooth and nail to keep. But things have been looking a little sketchy for the BBC, so it's... not that I was worried that it was going to go away, but it was something that I did call into question of how is this going to shape up? Like, and I mean, that's still obviously a big thing because it's far from resolved at this point, but it's just nice to know that, like, in the midst of all of this, they're like, no, this is something we're putting a lot of effort into with season 10 that, you know, or series 10 that we're going to see.
So. I would be more worried about the entire BBC going away than just Doctor Who going away, though.
It's a possibility, but it's nice to know that as long as the BBC exists, they're going to continue with Doctor Who. So,
yeah.
But yeah, if you want to read the entire review, which it's difficult, but I mean, you think American legalese is hard if you live in the States, just imagine British legalese, because that's basically what this equates to. So, but yeah, the link will be in the show notes. You can go to GallifreyPublicRadio.com/145 and click on the news link there, and you can find your way to the BBC Worldwide Annual Review and see what all it is they have to say there. Because there is some interesting stuff here. This is just the only one that pertains to us. So the other news article that we have is apparently Yanto is going to be coming back. Yay!
Yay! He got better.
He was only mostly dead. Big Finish is actually bringing back Yanto Jones come October in the Fall to Earth story. I have not had a chance to really look at this. I'm sure it's something that takes place prior to Children of Earth. I don't think they're actually going to resurrect him, but it's really kind of cool seeing all of this come in, take shape.
Right. Well, a while back, we talked about how Big Finish was planning to do a set of Torchwood audio series focusing on each character.
Right.
And
right.
We'd mentioned that the Captain Jack one was going to be Torchwood the Conspiracy. So this is the one that comes after that.
Okay. It'll be nice to get Gareth Roberts back, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone has seen him on a panel or anything, but he's always such, it's always so much fun because, he hates the fact that Yanto had to die. Like, he gets it. He doesn't hold any bad feelings or anything, but it's just one of those things, like, it still bothers him. Like, when people were asking, what would you want most for your character in the future? And his response is always something like breathing, Yeah.
That one came. We just finished up series two where we lost Toph and Owen, and we're still reeling from that. And we're like, well, at least Captain Jack still got Gwyn and Yanto, and he's going to be okay. And then Yanto dies.
It was difficult. I mean, there was not really anything in that story at all that was easy, but.
Right. Because it would have been a cakewalk without his death.
And then one other thing that came out recently is Gallifrey One has actually posted their second batch of guest announcements. So
Jenny's going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Catherine Stewart will be attending as well. So, Colin Baker, Sarah Dollard,
some doctors and stuff,
minor details, but Jenny's going to be there. Come on. I know that's pretty awesome. So yeah, you can, again, go to the show notes and click on that and see everybody that's on the list there. So, it's shaping up to be a really awesome, guest list. And so far, we've already got two doctors. We've got Danny, Perry, Jamie, Neve McIntosh, Catherine Stewart. So we've got two of the three Patnosters there. Dan Starkey was there last year. So it wouldn't be a surprise to see him show up again. So, Julian Glover, come on. These are some big names coming. It's going to be awesome.
I'm excited. I'm glad I get to go this year.
It's definitely awesome. If you don't have your tickets, sorry. It's clearly too late, but. Yeah. All right. But that's all the news that we've got this week. Things are kind of slowing down on the news front, at least until we get closer. I'm sure we'll get more stuff as the series gets closer, but we're in that lull before things really start to pick up before everything starts airing. So, but we'll keep bringing it as quickly as it comes out. But this has been episode 145 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying death or plumbing.
And this is Haley saying stop that noise.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com, tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio, or on Facebook @facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows. Or visit forums.gungeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.
Gallifrey Public Radio is copyright 2015.